Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So today we're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam. This is the second canto entitled The Cosmic Manifestation. And we're on chapter 10, which is Bhagavatam is the answer to all questions. And text number 5. And today our class will be entitled Science of God. I guess you can see it okay. Avataranucharitam. Haresh Chashyanuvartinam. Haresh Chashyanuvartinam. Pumsam Isha Kataha Prokta Pumsam Isha Kata Prokta Nana Kyano Pabrimhita Nana Kyano Pabrimhita Avataranucharitam Hareschashyanuvartinam Pumsamishakata Prokta Nanakyananopamrihita Avataranucharitam Hareschashyanuvartinam Tinam Pumsami Shakata Prokta Nanakyano Pabrimhita. Anuvartinam Pumshami Shakata Prokta Nanakyano Paprimtita Anutadanucharitam Adeschasyanuvartinam Pumshami Shakata Prokta Nanakyano Pabrimita Avataranucharitam Hareschashyanuvartinam Pumshami Shakata Prokta Nanakyano Pabrimita Avataranucharitam Adeschashyanuvartinam Pumsami Shakata Prokta Nanakyano Pabrimhita Vaishnavis Avataranucharitam Adeschashyanuvartinam Pumsami Shakata Prokta Nanakyano Pababritam avatadanucharitam adeschashanuvartinam pumshami shikata prokta nanakyano pabritmita avatadanucharitam adeschashanuvartinam pumsami shakata prokta nanakyano pabrimhita avatara. Incarnation of Godhead. Anucharitam. Activities. Hare. Of the personality of Godhead. Cha. Also. Asya. Of his. Anuvartinam. Followers. Pumsam. Of the persons. Ishakata. The science of God. Prokta. Is said. Nana. Various. Akyana. Narrations. Upabrimhita. Described. Translation. The science of God describes the incarnations of the personality of Godhead and his different activities, together with his activities of his great devotees. Please repeat. The science of God describes the incarnations of the personality of Godhead and his different activities, together with the activities of his great devotees. Purport. During the course of the existence of the cosmic manifestation, the chronology of history is created, recording the activities of the living entities. People in general have a tendency to learn the history and narrations of different men and times. But due to a lack of knowledge in the science of Godhead, they are not apt to study the history of the incarnations of the personality of Godhead. It should always be remembered that the material creation is created for the salvation of the conditioned souls. The merciful Lord, out of his causeless mercy, descends to various planets in the material world and acts for the salvation of the conditioned souls. That makes the history and narrations worth reading. Srimad Bhagavatam offers such transcendental topics of the Lord in relationship with great devotees. Therefore, the topics of the devotees and the Lord are to be given respectful oral reception. Om Gyana Tamarandasya Gananjana Salakaya Chakshusvanmitamina Tasmai Sri Guru Venama Sri Chaitanya Manobistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayamupagadam Ayam Tadati Swapadantikam Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasari Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Vanchakopa, Tubhyascha, Kripasindhu Bhavacha, Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. So the verse again. The science of God describes the incarnations of the personality of Godhead and his different activities together with the activities of his great devotees. So I was doing some research and I came across this image. And guess what it's about? Our fake history. And this is actually a podcast that people talk about. And I guess it's popular. I didn't listen to it, but I just saw it and thought it was interesting that people are spending times just discussing our fake history. In fact, he entitles it Our Fake History. So as Prabhupada said, we're all interested in hearing history about personalities. You know, there's these big things now. You could go on your ancestry. You could find out who your ancestors are and how they came to different parts of the world and where they came from and all these things. But Srila Prabhupada says something interesting about history. And I'd like to just read a few references from a lecture Srila Prabhupada gave and a conversation Srila Prabhupada gave in Vrindavan and in Mayapur. So there's a couple here. So this is regarding Kunti Devi's prayers from the first canto, 8th chapter. And she's saying, please cut off my attraction. She considered it a rope. Just like a rope is cut, if your hands and legs are tied up with a rope, and if you want to be free, then the knot is cut to pieces. So our affection for this material world has to be cut into pieces. That is the aim of life. The living being, nobody knows when he dropped into this ocean of material existence. Bhaktivinoda Thakur has sung, Anadi karma phale padi, bhavarnava jale anadi. Anadi means the beginning of creation, and anadi means before that. This creation, this material world, is created and annihilated, as is the nature of anything material. We have got experience from our body or any body. Everything here is created and annihilated. Even big, big empires like the Roman Empire, the Carthaginian Empire, the Mughal Empire, and so many empires, they came and they were annihilated. This is the nature. Therefore, Vidyapati has sung, Kata Chaturanam Mari Mari Yavat, Natuya Adi Avasana. Chatur Anana means the Brahma. So Brahma, his life, duration of life is very, very long. We know from the Bhagavad Gita that Shahasra Yuga Prayantam Aharyad Brahmano Vidu. He's not also immortal. He's mortal. Although his one day is equal to our 43 lakhs of years, multiplied by 1,000, but still he's not immortal. So we know that when Hiranyakashipu is performing all these austerities, and he wanted that benediction after he pleased Lord Brahma, that I want to become immortal. And Lord Brahma had to actually tell him that that's not possible because I'm not immortal. So nobody's immortal. And still, we're attached to this material world. And we want to try to become immortal. So there's another section here. Srila Prabhupada's having a conversation with Sri Dayananda Maharaj and a couple other devotees. And here he's talking about history. And Prabhupada's saying, you know, it's by Krishna's grace, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's grace, that we're being trained up. So he says, now you must revise the whole edition of the Western civilization, especially in America. And he said, then there'll be a new chapter that will come in, and this is the program. Therefore, Vanashram school is required. So Ridhan Amara says, so Prabhupada, in this Vanashram college, is it true that there will be no need, for example, for teaching material history and mathematics? And then Prabhupada cuts him off. And he says, Prabhupada says, no, there is no need. History, we simply read Mahabharat, history of the great men, Pandavas, how they were fighting for the good cause, how they are reigning, that history, not this rascal history. Prabhupada's calling it rascal. They themselves call it fake history. If you study that history millions of years, what is that history? And you will learn from that history. You learn history of the really great men, how they worked, how they ruled. That is, you study history of Maharaj Yudhisthira. Then Hridayananda Maharaj says, Mahabharat. Actually, now I think he's finishing his Mahabharat. He's working on that right now. And Prabhupada says, study the history of Maharaj Parikshit. That is required. Not that simply chronological record. All nonsense, and big, big books, and making research. Why? Why should you waste your time in that way? Then Vrindavan Rama says, Jai, Yes, and so, and then Prabhupada says, History must be for a great person. That is history. So, and then Prabhupada mentions here, this is another morning walk in Mayapur. And Prabhupada says, so this human form of life, one should take advantage of the spiritual culture, because in other forms of life, it's not possible. This is the main thing. You become Indian or American, doesn't matter. You're a human being. Take this culture and you'll be happy. This is our mission. We want everyone to be happy. Sarve sukhino bhavantu. Everyone must be happy with Krishna. That is our mission. So here's the great men Prabhupada's referring to. We need to understand the history of these great men. And Krishna is so kind to us, all the fallen souls in the material world, that he personally comes himself amongst all the living entities, and he takes part in their daily activities. So Prabhupada says here, any historical fact, old or new, which has a connection with the activities of the Lord, is to be understood as transcendental narration of the Lord. Without Krishna, all the supplementary literatures like the Puranas and Mahabharata are simply stories of historical facts. But with Krishna, they become transcendental, and when we hear of them, we at once become transcendentally related with the Lord. So we see even Vyasadeva himself was so busy doing so many things in the Vedas until he was told, no, you should definitely just talk about Krishna, the pastimes of Krishna. So then he became very satisfied. So Prabhupada goes on and says here, Krishna and his pure devotees, like the Pandavas, are on the same plane. Krishna is not without his devotees of all the rasas. And the pure devotees, like the Pandavas, are not without Krishna. The devotees and the Lord are interlinked, and they cannot be separated. Therefore, talks about them are all Krishna Katha, or topics of the Lord. So here again, it's bringing out the point that we glorify Krishna with his devotees, and how they're actually on the same level practically. That is Krishna Katha. So in another section, Srila Prabhupada says here, this is from the first canto. Lord Krishna and his devotees are both on the transcendental plane. Therefore, the topics of Lord Krishna and his pure devotees are equally good. The battle of Kurukshetra is full of politics and diplomacy. But because the topics are related with Lord Krishna, the Bhagavad Gita is therefore adored all over the world. There is no need to eradicate politics, economics, sociology, etc., which are mundane to the mundaners. To a pure devotee who is actually related with the Lord, such mundane things are transcendental if dovetailed with the Lord or with his pure devotees. We have heard and talked about the activities of the Pandavas, and now we're dealing with the topics of Maharaj Parikshit. But because all these topics are related with Lord Sri Krishna, they are transcendental, and pure devotees take great interest in hearing them. A living spark is eternal by constitution. He is, so to speak, in the whirlpool of birth and death due to his contact with material energy. Freed from such material energy, a living entity is liberated and is eligible to return home back to Godhead. Those who want to live forever without changing their material bodies should not waste valuable time with topics other than those related to Lord Krishna and his devotees. So Prabhupada continues talking about how the human being is seeking happiness, and that's the natural situation of a living entity. But because they're vainly seeking it in the material atmosphere, then they're frustrated. And because we're spiritual sparks, part and parcel of Krishna, then that happiness can only be perceived in our activities related with him. And Prabhupada says here, once a person comes in contact with any one of the above-mentioned energies, and those energies are his name, his form, qualities, his pastimes, his entourage, his personality, everything, all these are identical with Krishna. And once we become in contact with any of those through the proper channel of devotional service, then the door to perfection is immediately opened. So this is, and once we engage in that activity, it's never baffled. It's eternal. And this is done by the pure devotee injecting in our ear this transcendental topics through the disciplic succession. So, and it's interesting analogy Prabhupada used. He said, just like if you give in charity as some money to somebody, it's guaranteed that you'll get it returned. It's like a karmic thing. So he says, similarly, a moment passed in association of a pure devotee by hearing and chanting the transcendental messages of the Lord is a perfect guarantee for eternal life, for returning home back to Godhead. So that's nice. So we're guaranteed. And we see that devotees experience old age, may experience disease in the present life. But what is it for them? It's just an impetus to such a guarantee of eternal life. So we're looking forward to getting close to it. And there's an interesting quote from the Chaitanya Bhagavat. And this is where the Lord was chastising Devananda. And he says here, Muni mora das aragranta bhagavate yare bere ache taranasa bale mate. Anyone who discriminates between me, my servant, and the book Bhagavatam is certainly destroyed. So this is, again, bringing the point how the devotees and Krishna together, it's so important and powerful. And he says here, those who do not understand the science of Vishnu and the Vaishnavas and who discriminate between the Supreme Lord and the devotees certainly invite their own inauspiciousness. And then he ends with this, ends there with this. Although the activities of the Kanishta Adhikaris, there is some introductory understanding of the Supreme Lord. If such Kanishta Adhikaris disregard a devotee, they will fall even from that platform. Therefore, those who have invited inauspiciousness by attributing differences between the Lord's associates and the Lord's qualities, or the Lord and his devotees, do not know loving devotional service as the ultimate goal of life. So in spite of receiving the human form of life, they are simply committing suicide. So that's pretty heavy. So this, as we see here, Krishna is giving Arjuna this transcendental, actually a very confidential knowledge. And because he says that you're never envious of me. So he's given in this. So this is, as a devotee, the more and more we hear about Krishna, we become enlightened. And this hearing process is recommended in the Srimad Bhagavatam. And these messages are full of potencies. And these potencies help us to realize the topics of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And it can't be achieved by any other way. Only by association of devotees, not by speculators or professional reciters or things like that. So here is an interesting thing Srila Prabhupada talks about. We see different religions and different science. And Prabhupada has mentioned here that he asked a question to a television interviewer about, and I guess they asked him, and he asked them, but they're saying, why is the Christian religion declining? And why it will not? Why are you violating? And so he's asking all these questions to them. And why are you violating them? And they couldn't answer. And so he says that all many Christian priests ask me this question. And as soon as they put this question, they stop. They cannot answer. Why are you killing? The first order is, thou shalt not kill. And why are you killing? They cannot answer. I ask them two questions. Why unlimited? God shall have only one son. And why you are killing? They cannot answer. And then he asks if they could answer. And Umapati was there. He said no. And so Prabhupada says, the earth was flat. They believe that the world is flat. So how much imperfect knowledge they have got. So imperfect knowledge, how long it can go. Just like we're going to challenge all these rascals that life is grown out of matter. We are going to challenge. It is not a fact. How long can you cheat people? 400? 200? 1,000 years? But you cannot cheat them for all time. So Amapati says, oh, it's been going on from time immemorial. I guess they figure that can just keep going on from time immemorial. And Prabhupada says, no, time immemorial. You're being cheated for 200, 300 years. That's all. Not before that. And then Prabhupada brings in, it's all because of these scientist rascals. Have come out within 200 years. That's all. So you're being cheated for the last 200 years, not for thousands of years. So it will be finished. Within another 50 years, everything will be finished. And this was said by Srila Prabhupada in 1973. So 50 years is 2023. So you can see it's happening. How it's being, everything's being finished. Why? Because they want, well, it's got to be finished in order to usher in the golden age. So Karandar says, yes, they say now there is an anti-intellectual movement. People are rebelling to science and modern progress. And Prabhupada says, what is that science? That is not science. That is ignorance. Ignorance, simply ignorance. Ignorance is going as science. Irreligion is going as religion. So how long will it go? People are becoming intelligent. So this is happening. And I was looking at some of the book reviews of Srila Prabhupada's books by many different scholars and different people. And we see how you can see people are seeing. And they're reading Prabhupada's books and they're making comments. And this was done by a book review by Sri R. Subramanyam, who is a deputy director of the National Parliament. And this was in New Delhi. This was 1976. And this is what he said. I'm just taking a few quotes from him. A strange feature of the modern world is that in spite of vast advances in science and technology and the establishment of a good number of institutions for human welfare, mankind has not found true peace and happiness. Knowledge of material sciences and arts has increased tremendously in recent times, and millions of volumes on each fill the libraries the world over. People and leaders in every country are generally well-versed in these arts and sciences, but despite their efforts, human society everywhere continues to be in turmoil and distress. So he says, the reason is not far to seek. It is that they have not learned the science of God, the most fundamental of every other art and science, and cared to apply it to the facts of life. The need of the hour is therefore to do it, if mankind is not only to survive, but flower in its glorious existence. So he goes on here. To teach this science of God to people everywhere and to aid them in their progress and development towards the real goal of life, Srimad Bhagavatam is the most eminently fitted. In fact, this great and ancient work of Vyas will fill this need of the modern times, for it is a cultural presentation for the re-spiritualization of the entire human society. So he's quoting Prabhupada there. So then he ends here. He says, this is a rare opportunity to people and leaders of every country, race, and community in the world to know and understand the glorious science of God and work for their perfection. I would say that this encyclopedia of spiritual knowledge is more important and fundamental than the encyclopedia of any other branch of knowledge and should, therefore, find a rightful place not only in the public and private libraries, big and small, of educational and other institutions, as also of every household, but above all, in the hearts and minds of every man and woman. So that was nice. So Srila Prabhupada says, yes, people are becoming intelligent. And Prabhupada's helping them become intelligent with these books. So, as described in this particular chapter, as we're understanding, it's talking about the Bhagavatam and how the Bhagavatam, in a nutshell, was spoken by the Supreme Personality of Godhead to Lord Brahma. And we see just like about a half a dozen verses. Of course, there's four seed verses. But so this is showing how it's coming down through disciplic succession. So he received it directly from the Lord. And then he handed it over to Narada. And then Narada, in turn, offered it over to Srila Vyasadeva. And then to expand it. So this Bhagavad Prana, it's been going on. You know, therefore, by the direct incarnation of the Lord in the form of transcendental sound and how one should receive it from a bona fide representative in the chain of disciplic succession. So we see from the Lord to Brahma, and then Brahma to Narada, and then Narada to Vyas. And then we have from Vyas to Sukadev, and then Sukadev to, we see, Parikshit Maharaj, and also Suta Goswami was there. So like it's an analogy is used that the Vedic tree drops this ripened fruit, which is the Srimad Bhagavatam, you know, without being broken from hand to hand in this way. So it's not just thrown down to the earth and crashed. So in that way, we can hear it purely from a bona fide representatives like that. So we can see here, and then we see from, we're skipping a lot of the Parampara line, but we see how Srila Prabhupada had a spiritual master. He received the knowledge from him. And then Srila Prabhupada was kind enough to bring this science of God, which is about all Krishna's incarnations, about his pastimes, everything. They had joined him on the ship of the Jaladuta to come and to bring us this science of God in his different lectures and his books like this. So his actually training us up. So we're very grateful and fortunate. And we're seeing this is the history of devotees. The history of Srila Prabhupada, how he came to America, what he did when he landed. This is what's important because it's related to Krishna. Not just some mundane in our heritage of, you know, how my great-grandfather came to the United States and homesteaded and things like that. What good is that? But here we want to hear the real histories of the material world. So we see many crowds and races and nationalities here, and they're all reaching out from the darkness. And what are they reaching for? They're reaching towards Srila Prabhupada's ISKCON. You see the name there, it's not very clear. And this was actually a painting that was commissioned what's her name? I forget her name now. Anyway, she had a dream of Srila Prabhupada. And this was Srila Prabhupada on this beautiful Vyasasan. And the name ISKCON there, she realized that this name, ISKCON is like Srila Prabhupada's sitting place. It's like his carrier. Just like Lord Shiva has his bull carrier and Ganesh has a rat and, you know, these like that. So this is ISKCON. It's like a divine creation. It's meant to serve Lord Chaitanya's mission. And it had Srila Prabhupada's work of printing his books, distributing his books, spreading the teachings of Lord Chaitanya all over the world. So it's an entity. ISKCON is like an entity. It's actually non-different than Krishna. Prabhupada even said ISKCON is an incarnation of Krishna. So it's more than just an organization. So this is what Prabhupada wanted for the future. So this is Srila Prabhupada sitting on that great Vyasasan. And this is the lion-flanked, jewel-bedecked Vyasasan that was shimmering in her dream and how he was positioned on Mother Earth, and how all the different demigods are actually showering flowers on Srila Prabhupada. They're honoring a devotee of Krishna because he is related to Krishna, and therefore they're the same. So I'd like to read a little something here. She says here, above Srila Prabhupada in the shimmering silver blue sky, many swan-shaped airplanes circled. In these airplanes, devatas were singing praises and showering flowers, cascades of colorful blossoms tumbling down from their swan planes as they glorified Srila Prabhupada with sweet-sounding instruments chanting the Hare Krishna mantra throughout the universe. So they were celebrating Lord Chaitanya's mission on earth and showering blessings on the Senapati Bhakta, who is Srila Prabhupada, commander-in-chief. So this is Srila Prabhupada. He sits on this huge Vyasasan like a lion. He sits there atop of a mountain, and from there he sees all the world, the inhabitants, their sufferings, and this mood of compassion, he contemplates everybody's needs and desires, their karmas, and he devised different ways for us to go back home, back to Godhead. This is Srila Prabhupada. So this was his the vision that we see. And this is just a small glimpse of his greatness in the future. More and more people will go back in the history of Srila Prabhupada and see what he did. It's amazing. And a lot of the devotees and disciples of Srila Prabhupada in the early days are looking back now and seeing, oh, we had such an opportunity to be with such a great personality. We didn't even realize who we were with. It's amazing. So that's so nice. So our important duty is to see and preserve what Srila Prabhupada has given us. And, you know, not changing, adding, you know, all these different things that we have a tendency to do or we have seen. But we have to be convinced that Srila Prabhupada is actually here still. And he's still guiding us. And his movement of Lord Chaitanya to chant the Hare Krishna mantra. So Srila Prabhupada has given us these literatures. We just flip through the pages of the Srimad Bhagavatam. This is the science of God. It's about his diverse energies and his spiritual energies, his material energies. And we see this science of God, it's described. There's a nice verse in the Narada Pancharatra. For material creation, Lord Krishna's plenary expansions assumes three Vishnus. We know that's Mahavishnu. He creates all the material energy. And then there's, which is the Mat Tattva also. And then we see the second one, which is the Garbhodakshaya Vishnu. He enters all the universes and creates diversities within them. And then he expands himself as Kshirodakshaya Vishnu. And he pervades as a super soul in all the universes, as Paramatma. And he also enters all the atoms. And if we know these three Vishnus, we can be liberated from the material entanglement. And so we see this material manifestation is just temporary. So everything here is temporary. And we have to see that we have to know that this is not our home, but Krishna's come very kindly amongst his devotees to help us go back home, back to Godhead. So just like to end with this, that this is the culmination of yoga and full Krishna consciousness. And if we always think of Krishna, this is the topmost of all yogis. And Srimad Bhagavatam, it said that when we become free from this material contamination by rendering devotional service unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead and his devotees, at that time we can understand the science of God. So I'd like to end there and open it up for any comments or questions. Realizations. Jai Bhrigupati Prabhu.
Thank you, Prabhu. Amazing class. In the purport, Prabhupada says that the material creation is created for the salvation of the conditioned souls. And in the next sentence, he says about how the Krishna descends upon the material creation, performs his pastimes.
Yes.
Also for that same purpose, and pure devotees as well, saying, you know, their activities are pastimes. So my question is, what about everything else? Because the material creation is created for the salvation of the conditioned soul. So it's like a system. So what about everything else within that system? Is it ultimately created for the salvation of the conditioned souls, like including birth, old age, disease, and death? Is that a bona fide way to see the material creation as ultimately everything is created for the salvation of the...
Exactly. That's true. That's right. That's a very good understanding. Just like I mentioned how even old age, disease, is an encouraging thing for a devotee because he knows that now he's going to become immortal. It's a reminder that, yes, I'm getting closer to that. And like everything, even the internet, for example, it could be used to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. Or it can also be used, that's the point, it could be used to spread hate and destruction all throughout the world. So it depends on us, how we utilize it. So a devotee wants to see everything as to engage in Krishna service. Probably, like he said, it's not need for to get rid of politics or all these different things, but we see them in relationship with Krishna. Like the Pandavas, they used everything for Krishna. Yeah. Yes, Sach Chinoy Prabhu.
Thank you, Prabhu. You were mentioning about that in the Chaitanya Bhagavad, the Lord said, whoever discriminates between me and my pure devotees will be destroyed.
Yeah.
And just remind me that in the Chaitanya Bhagavad, the story of also Devananda Pandi, who was reciting, you know,
Yeah, this is
according to him, Bhagavatam, but he was not really the way he should be done, according to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became so angry because he offended his pure devotee, Srivas, that, you know, he didn't do anything when he was put outside. So he was practically speaking, physically going to beat him up, if you want to say, call it, and devotees hold him. But then the interesting part was that devotee, the Vananda Pandi, later on became attracted by a pure devotee, Haridas Thakur. Then at that point, the Lord, you know, accepted him.
Yes.
So in one sense, he wanted to, like you said, destroy, practically speaking, kill him. And then, but then another pure devotee gave shelter on him. So that's, you know, like nice illustrations how the Lord can, you know, you do something to his pure devotee, bad, he immediately reacts. You do something good, immediately.
Yeah. So that's. Thank you for bringing that more details into that pastime. Because, you know, anyone who discriminates between me and my servant and the book Bhagavatam is certainly destroyed. So that's what that verse that I quoted from that.
But if you allow me to, there's another in regards to the activities and pastimes of the Lord.
Sure.
In the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, that famous verse, Tava katavitan tapta yuvanam kavi viriditan kalma supaham, sravanam mangalam srimadatatam puvir grinante ye buridajana, where it says the narrations and the activities of your pastimes are the life and soul.
Yeah, it's like nectar.
Of everybody.
Yeah.
Why is that? It says because these are the great sages put all these narrations to eradicate all the sinful reactions. Then later on it says these narrations are surcharged with a lot of power and now they're being distributed all over the world.
Yeah.
And the most fortunate persons are those, the most magnanimous are those who are giving them away.
Yeah.
So the mission of Srila Prabhupada is doing that. He created a society in which devotees are printing books and books are being distributed all over the world.
Yes, that's ISKCON.
The narrations and pastimes.
Yeah, that's a nice... There was one other quote that I skipped because time is running low, but there's a Bhagavad Gita Prabhupada talks about in the purport that it's not possible to actually comprehend the greatness of Krishna and his devotees, but the devotees, they still try. In the purport. And he said that here, rather the very topics of Krishna are so relishable that they appear to the devotees as nectar. And thus the devotees enjoy them. In discussing Krishna's opulences and his diverse energies, the pure devotees take transcendental pleasure. Therefore, they want to hear and discuss them. So even though it's not possible to understand Krishna, look at this. How can we understand Krishna's creation? But still, it's nectar. And the devotees relish them. And this is what Prabhupada's distributing, like you said, that what you're doing. You're distributing books every day, distributing this nectar through ISKCON. And as we were showing here, Srila Prabhupada's ISKCON. So nice. Jai. All right. Thank you for your kind attention. All glories to Srimad Bhagavatam. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.